Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenters for this week, Carmel O'Donoghue and I, John Bourne. Coming up on this afternoon's programme, I'll be talking to Spanish journalist Elisa Bayo about the rise of Podemos and some of the other political happenings in her part of the EU. Carmen will have her personal report on European issues we believe will have a direct impact on us here. We'll have a roundup of some of the stories of Irish interest that are making the headlines, and we'll have some wonderful music from Finland and Holland from your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour and your programme Europe Today. The European Union is to provide €610 million in funding to the government here over the next 5 years to promote employment, skills and social inclusion. The funding programme will support 167,000 people through upskilling and retraining. It will also back 79,000 people through social inclusion, such as community involvement and training. Kira Eustace of the EU office in Dublin says more people will gain new skills as a result of this programme.
This €610 million of EU funding for the European Social Fund for Ireland for 2014 to 2020 is targeting the unemployed. What it really wants to do is help people get back to work. So therefore, it will target the unemployed, especially the long-term unemployed and youth unemployment, through upskilling and reskilling in order to access the labour market.
Ireland has moved to 9th out of 28 in the new EU Digital Index. The use of digital technology puts us slightly above the EU average and ahead of countries like Germany. The index, however, said that progress is needed in Ireland on increasing digital skills. Alicia O'Rourke of the EU office in Dublin says the figures show that the number of Irish people using digital technology is continuing to grow year by year.
This is showing us that during the last year, there has been, for example, a take-up of fast broadband in Ireland increasing. There has been an increase in the use of internet services, and basically a slight improvement on the figures from 2014, showing that we are improving in our digital performance.
More and more third level students are expressing an interest in the workings of the European Union. A major workshop on how the EU functions took place at the Department of the Taoiseach recently. Students were asked to write a 750 word article on how the EU impacts on Ireland, with the prize of a European Commission Award for Students of Journalism on offer for the winner. Nicole O'Connor from Dublin, who is studying at DCU, says this competition offers an opportunity to explore her full knowledge on the workings of the European Union.
It's something that's practical that can help me out when I finished college. It's going to show me how to write about the EU from within Ireland, and then by entering the competition I kind of have a chance to see if I'm on point with it or whether I need to go back and have another look at it again. I'm hoping it'll give me a stepping stone till I know the right people have looked at the work, and till if I am successful, till I am able to report on Europe and I'm not going away believing that, oh, I know what I'm writing about and I'm not.
The European Union is to make €820 million available to develop Irish regions between now and 2020. €498 million is being designated for the South East, with €320 million for the Border Midlands and Western region of the country, with a significant portion going to SME development. The funding will be managed by two regional authorities. Kira Eustace of the EU office in Dublin says the funding assigned for broadband will be crucial for developing small and medium-sized businesses.
Two regions are involved here, the South East region and the Border Midlands and Western region. And the priorities for this funding include SME development, and a key part of this is access to next generation broadband in both areas.
Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM. To champion the diversity that Polish people bring to Ireland, Polska Era 2015, a nationwide festival, is set to coincide with the UEFA Republic of Ireland versus Poland qualifier on the 29th of March. It's estimated that there are presently 150,000 Polish citizens living in the Republic, resulting in Polish becoming the second most widely spoken language on the island. Throughout the week, there will be cultural and sporting events for everyone to take part. More than 1,000 Muslims formed a human shield around Oslo's synagogue on Saturday, offering symbolic protection for the city's Jewish community and condemning a recent attack on a synagogue in neighbouring Denmark. Chanting no to anti-Semitism, no to Islamophobia, Norway's Muslims formed what they called a ring of peace after a Danish-born son of Palestinian immigrants killed two people at a synagogue at an event promoting free speech in Copenhagen recently. The EU's European Investment Bank was in Dublin last week to announce major new funding for Ireland. Money will go to social housing, rural broadband and an upgrade of the University of Maynooth. Other projects include support for the Lewis Tramlink in Dublin and support for essential energy and water infrastructure investment, among others. Professor Luke O'Neill and his team from the Trinity Biomedical Sciences Institute were in the news last week following the discovery of a molecule that could lead to treatments for numerous inflammatory diseases. The Marvel molecule has been found to block a key driver of inflammatory diseases that could mean new non-invasive treatments for arthritis and multiple sclerosis, amongst other inflammatory diseases. Professor O'Neill is the recipient of a €2.5 million advance grant from the EU's European Research Council for his ongoing research project. The European Commission launched its landmark project to unlock funding for Europe's businesses and to boost growth in the EU's 28 member states with the creation of a true single market for capital. The Commission launched a three-month consultation round which aims to kickstart a debate across the EU over the possible measures needed to create a true single market for capital. The controversial high-speed rail project to link Lyon in France to Turin in Italy faces investigation from the European Anti-Fraud Office. Costs have rocketed and alleged mafia involvement on the Italian side is a cause for concern. Turkish men have donned miniskirts to denounce violence against women at a protest in Istanbul after a 20-year-old student was beaten to death after trying to fight off a man attempting to rape her. The girl was abducted on the 11th of February. She had used pepper spray to fend off the attacker before being beaten and stabbed. Her body was discovered days later. Faced with an influx of migrants from the Middle East and Africa, the EU has extended its rescue mission off the Italian coast until the end of this year. Italy will receive an extra €13.7 million in addition to the more than €500 million that has already been set aside. The mission, known as Triton, has come under fire from human rights groups. Triton has no operational resources of its own, leaving an enormous financial burden on the Italian Coast Guard to help refugees in distress. An estimated 3,000 people died last year trying to cross the Mediterranean. This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
Kun karsit kuoleman rajamailla, kylmissäsi peruspäin taivoa vailla, kättäsi pidellen saatan sinut rajantaa, olenhan nappulan sikuskitar. Kahan autollani halki kaupungin. Hätätapauksessa raivaan tietä tyytilläin. Hiljaa näin tyyt tyyt, tyyt tyyt tyyt. Hellästi näin tyyt tyyt, tyyt tyyt tyyt. Kun verta vuodat ajanut oot kolarin. Viipa autollani apun kiruhtan. teko hengitystä suusta suuhun puhallan. Hiljaa näin, puh puh, puh puh puh, hellästi näin, puh puh, puh puh puh. Ristiin hameen alla, ensi apulaat kapilassa on mulla. Hoidon hellän saan, kammeihin vakavin. Pussin palauttaa. Kun sijaltaan on mennyt sulta olkapää, sen paikoilleen ruksautan. Ruks, ruks, ruks. Sen paikoilleen ruksautan. Ruks, ruks, ruks. Kun päättyy viimein pitkän päivän raskas työ, ambulanssin sairaalalle parkkeeraa. Punaristimekan kaapin naulaan ripustan. Kello on 4:00, jee, jee, jee. 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 Punaristin hameen alla, ensi apu lappu piilossa on. Sairaalalta tiellä käyn, uimaan rinnan meren rantaan yteriin. Peitsin kuumaan hiekkaan pikku varpaat kipristän. Tänään luen jonkun kivan kirjan ajattelin. Tänään luen Herman Hessen lasihelmipelin. Tänään luen jonkun kivan kirjan ajattelin. Tänään luen Herman Hessen lasihelmipelin.
That's music from 2008 by Finnish artist Eleonora Rosenholm.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
The Sinn Féin MEP Leah Ní Riada says it would be a dream come true if she won an MEP of the Year award. The Ireland South MEP was recently shortlisted for the award. She was nominated on the back of her work on the Leader programme. Ms Ní Riada is the only Irish MEP up for one of the coveted annual European Parliament awards this year. Here she is in conversation with Europarl Radio's editor, Karen Coleman.
One final question before we go. You've been nominated, you've been shortlisted for the category for an MEP of the Year award. These are given out on an annual basis. You're the only Irish person now, MEP, to be shortlisted. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, I was delighted and surprised, I have to say, and it was really as a result of Leader. It was the Leader groups that nominated me for this category for regional policy. I was delighted because obviously it shows that you're having some kind of an impact and that you're doing the work. And then to be shortlisted on top of that, which was terrific again. So the nominations are the shortlist. I think the voting is closed at the end of this month and then the announcement will be made in March. It would be really a dream after Paddy's Day to be given the MEP of the Year award. But I'm up against two members of the EPP in that particular category and they have far more MEPs and it's MEPs only can vote for you. So it's a bit like the campaign trail all over again, canvassing, looking for votes. But look at, I think it is a great honour and it is very humbling, I suppose, to have been nominated. And it's as a result of the great teamwork that we do as a Sinn Féin team. In either case, it's not just me. My name might be on that shortlist, but I consider all my three other fellow MEP comrades to be included in that.
And how many MEPs do you know actually get the award? Because there's several categories, aren't there?
I think there's about 8 or 9 categories. So I suppose to answer your question, that would make it about 8 or 9 MEPs. But of course, my rankings have gone up as well because I'm doing so much work, but legislative work as well. So they kind of base it on that. So I'm quite high in the ratings of the MEPs as well. So look, it's all in all, I suppose it shows that I'm actually doing the work that I was elected to do.
I mean, it's interesting, you're Sinn Féin, and there would have been a time, I'd say, in the past when Sinn Féin MEPs wouldn't have been as enthusiastic about the European Parliament as you appear to be. There seems to be a change in approach by Sinn Féin, certainly the MEPs out here, towards the Parliament and towards the EU.
Well, no, I think, as we've always stated, you know, we would be very critical of the European Parliament in many, many ways. And I would still be very on a fundamental. I have a lot of fundamental issues with it. But we critically engage with it and we forensically go through a lot of the stuff, and what's good for Ireland we take and what isn't we don't. What I have discovered, however, and you only know this when you come out here yourself from dealing with all the other legislative issues that go on, a lot of the decisions that we would have, or certainly from my own view, would have been attributing to EU legislation, it comes from Ireland itself. So it's convenient at times for the government at home to blame Europe for legislation, when in actual fact, a lot of the decisions, there's more autonomy within the member states than is given credit for. However, I have huge worries about how we're going towards more of a federalist Europe, how we're going towards more privatisation. And again, it's beefing up those who are wealthy to the detriment of those who are poor, and all this idea of harmonising everything and everything being centralised. It's a huge worry. It's a huge worry for our sovereignty. And I would have big, big question marks about the merits of staying within the European Union. But as I said, we're here and we have to deal with it in a positive way. And it's better to deal with it in a positive way and try and engage with it proactively to get the best you can for the constituents at home.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Having started out in a Madrid theatre just over 12 months ago, Podemos has ridden a wave of anti-establishment feeling in Spain to top opinion polls. Europe Today contacted our Spanish political correspondent, Elisa Bello, to find out more about the mass appeal of Podemos. Elisa, thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today. Elisa, can you tell us a little bit about the political atmosphere in Spain at the moment and essentially revolving around Podemos?
Yes, well, at the moment, people here in Spain are fed up with the traditional parties, PP and PSOE, because of the recent facts of scandals and corruption. So I think that people see Podemos as a chance and as an opportunity to make PP and PSOE change.
Yep. And as regards the the result in Greece, I mean, are people looking at this as an example of how they can change the traditional political landscape?
Yes, definitely, definitely. What I see here is that people that never before had been involved in politics, now they are going into it very much. You know, like friends, even family. And now they see that Podemos is a very open party, and Podemos can have it can be strong enough, not maybe to get the power, but to be a very important party here. So when we look at Greece, we see this country as a good example.
Very good. Elisa, can you tell us a little bit about the background of Podemos? Where did they come from? How did they come to become...
It started a couple of years ago. 3 years ago, there was a very strong movement here in Spain. It was called 15M, 15M, and it was million of Spanish people on the streets protesting against the government, the crisis, and the bad situation. And it was a very apolitical movement, but after that, some people started to think about it and think about how to transform that into politics and how to transform the Spanish politics. So at the universities, there was a movement as well among a lot of professors.
Right.
And they wrote a kind of letter saying what they think that Spain needs to change.
Right, okay, yeah.
And after that, they decided to make a party.
Right, okay.
So most of the people that are involved in Podemos are professors and people coming from universities.
There's plenty of political parties already in Spain. Why do they feel the need to get a new one instead of just joining with one of the existing parties?
Podemos is changing the panorama because Podemos is left side. Wing. I don't know how to say it in English. Sorry. The left parties are getting very nervous because they see how people are moving into Podemos.
Right.
So they are less and less strong. And it is happening because Podemos has no history.
Right, okay.
So people can't see any corruption in Podemos at the moment. Although now media in Spain are trying to show all news and all stories about people from Podemos, like kind of corruption stories about it. But Podemos is affecting small parties as well a lot. And PSOE, the second strongest party in Spain, is one of the historical parties in Spain. It's been very very damaged by Podemos because a lot of people from PSOE is moving to Podemos as well.
Okay, and the other thing that we're curious about here, Elisa, is the situation in Catalonia. How much interest is that in the rest of Spain?
Oh, a lot of interest at the moment, John, because they have been working very hard to the nationalists have been working very hard to involve people, citizens.
Right, okay.
And they are getting it, you know. And a lot of people now believe that they are a different country.
Okay.
And they are working for that. The problem there is that the perception we have the rest of the country is that they are doing it illegally or not following the right steps.
Okay, right.
I think so. But since we have democracy here in Spain, the nationalist politicians have been educating people and re-educating people and telling them about their culture, language,
okay,
and that stuff to become independent.
Elisa, I might actually come back to you in a couple of weeks' time about that Catalonia.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
Oh, good.
So thanks a million, Elisa, for taking the time out to talk to us on Europe Today.
Oh, thanks a million to you, John. It was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Ben jullie klaar voor een feestje? Snorrebollekes en de nummer 11 feest DJ van Reuzel.
I love Flowjack. Het is carnaval en al weet het al, het stuk gaat van de muur. Met een paard in de gang, in de pek gaan en een biertje pilletjes schuren. Flowjack, laat die handjes zien. Merkes, laat die handjes zien. Klap maar mee, hoppatee, zingen met z'n allen. Ja, iedereen van Valkens weg komt dan mee. Jack. I love you.
down. Medicus, geef dat ding een nou. Hop maar mee, hop het thee, zand op de rest mee. Ja, iedereen van Wolkens weg tot dan Breda. Het wou het er niet.
Riding high on the charts in the Netherlands, that's a track called A La Fro Jack by a band called Snolly Bollockers. Those crazy Dutch people. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, I want to say a very, very special thank you to our Spanish political correspondent, Elisa Bayo. Don't forget to check out our website support portal, europetoday.ie, which will have a podcast of today's programme and a link to the various items that we mentioned as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme, Europe Today.